You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. You aren't going to find anything else like it. They are our sponsors because I own three of them, and I truly believe in this machine. I truly believe in the people that work there and the product. Mention Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $400 off. Just say, Coach Collins sent me. Coach Unplugged sent me, and they'll take really, 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 really good care of you. Trust me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. You're going to want to check it out before prices increase. You know, it's just that things happen. Coach Collins has only got so many hours in a day. Go over and check it out. It's got the roadmap. It's got everything that you need to become a better basketball coach in one stop. You know, if you're looking for clinic videos, if you're looking how to break a 1-3-1, if you're looking how to run a zone offense, if you're looking how to pick an offense, if you're looking for anything, it's got it there for you. As I hit my microphone, oh well. It also helps us pay the bills, helps us keep all these podcasts, the High School Hoops and 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcasts and Funnel Down and all these things free to you. Teachhoops.com is what pays the bills and keeps the lights on. So we'd love if you went over and check that out, and let's head off to the podcast. So Kelly, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to have you introduce yourself and tell your, what I refer to this as your kind of your basketball journey. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just kind of talk about why we're sitting here and talking a bit, but just kind of tell the people that are listening, kind of your journey, your athletic journey, your basketball journey, and then what you're doing now, and then we'll dive into that.
This is Kelly Kennedy. I am a former Division I college basketball coach. I started my basketball journey playing, let's say, college at Case Western Reserve University, so Division III school, and I went there because I wanted to study medicine, and it's one of the top med schools in the country. So had the opportunity to play basketball and to study pre-med. And what I found in the classroom that it was like really kicking my butt and it wasn't going that way. So in my sophomore year, I was in my dorm room. And I thought, what do I really want to do with my life? And I set the goal to be a Division I head basketball coach. So this D3 kid says, you know, I'm going to be a D1 head basketball coach. So I started that journey, and after I graduated college, I got my first coaching job at a D3 school, Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. And then from there,
and you were 22 then?
Yeah, 22. Let's say.
And you were the head coach?
No, I was an assistant. So I was an assistant volleyball and assistant basketball coach.
Okay.
The full-time position, which was great.
Wow. Yeah.
But I really wanted to get into the D1 coaching ranks. So a friend of mine was working that I met working camps, and she was at the University of Oregon as an assistant. And she's like, hey, Keebs, the grad assistant position's open. She says, you know, you should apply. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd kill for that job. So I really wanted that job. So I found out where Jody Runge was going to be the head coach, and during AAU basketball season back then, you know, yeah, back in the day. So I went and sat in the gym where she would be, and I knew she'd be in this gym watching these kids, and I had it all prepared. I got accepted to the MBA program. I was all set. So I went and met Jody. I said, hey, Jody, my name is Kelly Keeby. I'm going to be your grad assistant. And she was like, okay, right? This young punk.
Right.
I said, hey, I'm accepted to the program. Here's why you should hire me, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, 2 weeks later, she calls me. I get the grad assistant job. So there's my, I start out, I break into the Division I circle.
Which is big. And you did that relatively early.
Mm-hmm. So it was a grad. Yeah.
You would advise that.
Well, gosh, if you could start, you have to work your way up, right? So however you can, it's who you know in coaching, right? It's relationships. So when you get that opportunity, you got to take it, because then you're going to start meeting people. And that's what it's all about. When you can develop relationships, that's how you get to know people. And right. Then your
it's
name.
Like it's like that in anything, to be honest with you. But yeah. So you, I know what I've had a lot of coaches ask too, is like how they get in that track. And it's like that jump from 3 to 1 is hard. Mm-hmm. The sooner you can do it, probably is better. It would be probably my argument.
Right. Because you're going to start at an entry level. Right. So, right. I mean, the younger you are and you're, in my experience, you're probably more teachable the younger you are, because you're not set in your ways and you just want that opportunity. So I was able to get that opportunity, and I worked my buns off, you know, I mean,
right.
Going to school, coaching, you know, doing all that. And you're willing
to. How long were you there?
I was there 2 years. So okay. I went to the MBA program, and then TCU. So again, relationships. So Barb Walker was the senior women's administrator. Mike Peterson got the job at head coaching job at TCU, needed an assistant. Barb was like, hey, you need to check out this kid, right? Right. So that was in 96. So I was 26, got my first, you know, full time. So now right. I'm
working. Yeah.
Right now, yeah. I'm full fledged. Here we go. So at TCU, I was there for 3 years. Helped Mike Peterson rebuild that program, and had a blast. Loved TCU.
Were you recruiting at that point?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're recruiting, and man, those were the days where you'd spend all of mid June through beginning of August, you'd be on the road, right?
Right. Just
following these same kids to different tournaments. It's crazy, right? I'm a lot of babysitting, right. But
and here's my issue. So I would love to know your thoughts on this. Is, first of all, do you think it's too much in the summer? And then I've always thought that obviously the NCAA is hurting a little bit right now, but they're still not hurting too bad. But I've always thought there should be one assistant on that staff that all they can recruit is at the high school, that you should take some of that away from the summer and put it back into the high school and education based, you know, so that gives that assistant, like they can maybe sit on the bench during the games, but they're the ones out watching the high school games. Because when I started coaching 30 years ago, there was a lot more recruiting during the high school season, and that has basically disappeared. And not that summer's bad, and not that the, you know, there's good AAU programs and they're bad summer AAU programs, just like, but they're, I think the high school coaches have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. And to be honest with you, I'll probably give you a more honest approach than the summer guy will. So it's just, I find that intriguing, and I wonder what your thoughts on that are.
Well, I think, gosh, recruiting has changed tremendously, right? I mean, one, with video and with all the high tech stuff, we can see you could get high school games. You could get the video and really, after you see a kid play a couple times,
you can tell.
You know, right?
You
need to be chasing them and following them to 5-6 tournaments to, you know, make them feel loved. It's like, I think that's a problem.
Right.
But as far as getting the high school coaches involved, I think it's easier to do now. Shoot, we're all married to Zoom now, right? Let's have a conversation. And yes, high school coaches are going to be more honest and tell you because they know more about the kid than the AAU coach. The AAU coach is getting the best players. They're kind of
less. The thing is, as a high school coach, I'm going to tell you what I can tell you is, because I've coached some NBA guys. I can just tell you how they interact with their teammates and the type of person they are in third hour English class. Is probably more important to you than whether they can, you know, cross somebody over in a gym in July. I'm just telling you, because you're going to have them in that program for a stretch of time, and how they interact with their teammates and you and the staff and the press. And I just think I think it's something that's gotten lost in the shuffle. Part of it's a billion-dollar industry now, and you know, everything else is kind of running it, but I think that's really gotten lost, and it worries me a little bit, but I think they're trying to pull that back a little bit in the sense that they're giving some summer stuff to high schools and some windows. They seem to be moving the pieces a little bit, because I think they see how much money is being poured into things like tournaments and the EYBL, all that kind of, all that stuff which is fine. I don't have any problem with people being entrepreneurs, but you're being entrepreneurs on the back of 18-year-olds kind of thing. So,
that's a whole 2-hour discussion, you know, I mean, the way things have evolved, it used to be, you'd have, you know, the top kids playing in the top tournaments, and you knew everybody was going to those certain ones. Now there's 20 tournaments going on at the same time. So it's changed. I mean, the whole culture, I think, of recruiting and it used to be AAU, right? That was the big tournament. Now there's, you know, 20 tournaments all over the country.
The thing is, it's like, and there's two things. And I have a question to ask you when you walk into a gym. But the issue is, I think, I find it intriguing in the sense that there's only so many Division I athletes, and we'll dive into this a little bit more, but it's like everyone's chasing that gold at the end of the rainbow. And it's like, you know, and there's a lot of people making a lot of money chasing, selling false bill. You know, that's where I think, again, back to the high school, I'm not selling any false. I'm not making anything on summer basketball. You know, it's one of those things, but I can go into a gym and I can tell you the top players in the gym in about 3 minutes. The issue is, and this is where I've asked other college coaches and stuff, is how do you differentiate the other levels? Like, I can go in and I can tell you here's your top 10 kids in this gym of 60 kids. How do you go in and differentiate and find that great D3 kid? Like, how do you do that because it's almost like noise in there. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. So I spent about 6 or 7 years helping athletes get recruited. So a big part of that was evaluating the player, right? So that was number one with talking to mom and dad was, okay, let's be realistic about what level your daughter can play at, because everybody wants to play D1. But there's two reasons that they don't. One, they don't know about you, or two, you're not good enough. So nowadays.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
They probably know about you because there's enough sources to
right.
get information out, right? So you're probably not good enough. So one, be realistic. But as the coaches are watching, so yes, you have to, everybody, like you drool over those top kids. So when you're coaching D3, you're going, okay, you're looking for the kid that could play at both ends of the court, makes good decisions, plays hard, you know, is efficient, you know, yeah. And then you're looking, okay, size is going to probably determine off the bat sometimes where they fall. Right.
Right. The level, I think it's whether you can defend the ball.
Yeah.
I think a huge difference between, and I see this in the boys' side at least, the difference between that D3 kid sometimes and that D1 kid is you might have a lot of the skill sets of this, but you're either not quick enough, you're not big enough, you have to be able, it's like the NBA game, you have to be able to defend the ball. Like maybe you can score, but if you can't defend, if I can't stop you, that it's that quickness, it's all those variables. It's the math teacher in me, it's those variables. It's like because I've seen D3 kids that are really, really good, and it's like, oh man, they could play D2, D1, but maybe they just are missing the one variable. Like maybe it's height, maybe it's strength, maybe I don't know what it is, but it's something. Well,
I think the way I always looked at it is, I mean, your degrees of athleticism, right? I mean, speed in any sport, you right. see it,
right?
Speed kills. So that it's the same game. It's just faster, higher, stronger at each level you go.
Right.
So, you know, just what you're saying, the speed and athleticism, you know, and they can all shoot, they can handle the ball, but it's at what pace can you go and be effective? And then, you know, that's a key. So you have to, obviously, as a coach, you know what your level needs. And you can say, okay, yeah, she's good, but she's not going to be able to guard, you know, so-and-so.
On the wing. And then that's a problem. And then, I always tell parents and players and coaches too, I said, there's a trickle down effect too. And I've had enough. I mean, I can't even count how many college coaches have been in our gym. I said, they talk to each other. So they're there watching, X, and then they see Y and they go, ooh, he's not really at our level, but I know these other guys at the D2 level, or I know this D3 program is looking for I mean, that's what they don't understand too. There's this huge trickle down effect. And even high majors to mid to low majors, it's like, well, I got this kid, you know, he might be a good fit for you guys.
And here's a nugget for, you know, kids being recruited is just like you're saying, there's a trickle down, right? So, you know, if I'm being recruited by a D1 school and I've got some D2s that are offering me, right?
Right.
And I'm waiting to see if I get that D1 offer. Well, I didn't get that D1 offer. And I just lost those D2 offers because somebody else, you know, took them because they were more realistic about, you know, where I always ask a kid, do you want to sit the bench or do you want to play? Do you want to be a big fish in a small pond or, you know, a flounder in at the highest level, you know?
Right.
So what do you want to get out of this? And understand that, yeah, there's this coach is recruiting 5-6 players at your position. You know, they love each one of you.
Right.
But not one of you have said yes yet. So they're still dating. They're dating you all.
Right. That's what they don't understand. It's like what they're telling you, they're telling four other kids because they have to have things in the queue. I tell my parents and kids that all the time. I said, I've told this story a thousand times, but Mike Montgomery, who was at Stanford, sat in my building, told Wesley Matthews, he says, I'm never leaving Stanford. Week later, he's the head coach at Golden State. I swear to God. And he didn't lie to us, but they just threw money at him. It's like, they're going to tell you, a lot of them are going to tell you what they, you know, you want to hear, but they're also going to be honest. And then things change, you know, I just, it's an interesting business. They don't realize that too. At that level, it's a whole different business. So let's keep going on your thing. So you were at TCU and then what?
Okay. So then Iowa State. So I got to Iowa State. So here's, a nugget as far as relationships. So Katie, Abe, and I were, Katie worked at Iowa State and I was at TCU and we were sitting on the same team. And, you know, we were trying to get the big fish and Iowa State Big 12 was recruiting the same player, but we were recruiting a couple other kids on that team too. So anyway, but Katie and I, we went around the country together following the same kid. And then, so Iowa State got her. But Iowa State, little did I know, their assistant was they lost an assistant. She went to be the head coach. It was Brenda Fries at the time. So she went to go to, I think at that point, I don't know if she went to Minnesota, where she went. But that job opened up. So I had developed relationships with Iowa State. Their job opened up. They said, hey, come join our staff. So I moved up the ranks. Iowa State at that point was top 25. Actually, they had just beaten Connecticut in the Elite Eight just that year. So I went to Iowa State and was there for 3 years with Bill Fenley.
Okay. And then after that?
So after that, so had great success at Iowa State. So I'm 32 years old and the head coaching job at the University of Akron. So I got a few calls. There were a few schools that I was interviewing at as a head coach. So I was at Iowa State 3 years and then I got the head coaching job at the University of Akron.
How was the interview process? Were they different when you were interviewing at different places? Or were they very similar?
You know what? Shoot, at TCU, it was a conversation with Mike Peterson. I mean, I remember standing up on the track with him, went to campus. He showed me around and basically offered me the job.
Right.
And then Iowa State, very similar. I mean, it was, they knew me already.
Right, right.
Relationship, so it was kind of like, not really an interview.
Right.
but for Akron, it was an interview process that I met with Mike Thomas at the Final Four, interviewed with him there, and then went to campus and, interviewed with several people there.
Okay. Okay. And then what were your takeaways from Akron?
You might want to read my book.
Okay. okay. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
So I took over a program that was, I think it was the worst program in the country, literally. Like the RPI.
Did you have reservations about taking that job?
I did, but then on the other hand, Steve, I didn't because there were several factors. I grew up in Cleveland,
okay.
So it was close to home.
Right.
You know, it was kind of, all right. Is this where I'm supposed to be going? You know, it was close to home. And at that point, I felt like a world beater, I mean, I'd worked my way up the ranks. I helped TCU to rebuild a program. It was like, okay, this is going to be hard, but I worked with some great programs, been to the NCAA tournament several times, I had confidence and I had taken all the positive things and all the good things from the coaches I've worked with and thought, all right, I could put this together and do this and rebuild. And I like to fix things. So to me, it was a challenge of, all right, let's go fix this. So, okay.
My high school coach left and went to Akron, in the mid 80s, he was Jay Eck, I think was the head coach.
Okay.
That was in the mid 80s. Some good things, some bad things from that experience. And after you were done with that, did you feel like you were done then?
So good things. I felt like we had changed the culture from, a disaster to running things like a Division I program should be run. you know, changing the culture in that respect.
And what does that mean? What does that mean for listeners?
That means, so there were actually Division III transfers who had scholarships in the program. We had issues with extracurricular use of things that they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And, you know, changing the, okay, this is, you're going to do, have a weight program. You're going to come and work out right. with the strength coach on a consistent basis. You're going to have a preseason. We're going to do preseason workouts. You're going to train and get on
that. That stuff wasn't there. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. On a disciplined schedule. We're going to look like a Division I program, you
right.
know,
right.
how we act and how we, present ourselves and how we're going to, compete and work hard. And so it was changing a lot of that stuff at that point.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, review, do whatever you got to do. Also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great
Sports Social Podcast Network.